You're listening to this podcast on danceinisrael.com, courtesy of israelscene.com.
This is Deborah Friedis. I am sitting in Mitzpe Ramon at Adama with Nir Bengal. Would you please say hello to our audience?
Hello.
So I want to start at the beginning. I'm curious, how did you start dancing?
I started dancing when I was 23 years old. It's a long story. It happened many years ago. When I was like 12, I went to dance, and I danced for 1 year, and I was probably very good because I got terrified and I just stopped dancing. And it was like a legend in the family that if I would want to be a dancer, I could be one of the best dancers in Israel since I was a child. But I was riding horses, sailing in the sea. I went to the army, and I think I had this dream of dancing all my life. And then when I was 23 years old, Liat, which is my partner, she went to dance in the academy in Jerusalem. And I just came and took some lessons, and it was like, I don't know, I think until this time I was not really alive, if I can say this. I can say that I really started being alive when I was 23 and I was start dancing. It was like for me the first time that I did something that I really, really, really loved to do. Before I did a lot of things. I ride horses and I was in the army, and you know, I did everything that I needed to do, but I don't really felt that I'm doing it, I'm not dancing it. I'm just doing it because I should have doing it, or because I've been told to do it. And the dancing was for me like somebody opened a door and I just walk in, and there was a wonderful world inside, which I didn't really understand anything about this. I was just like addicted, you know, how do you say, people who put drugs in their body. Yeah, I was like taking classes from the morning till the evening. If there was no classes, we go all the way from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv to take classes, and if not, we just dance at home. And we were the two of us together, Liat and me, and I was like mastul. You know what mastul mean? Stoned. It was like the world stopped. I didn't care about anything, just dancing. I didn't really care what, if it's classical or modern or whatever, just to move. I was like drinking it for 2 years, 3 years. It's funny because I was also very much terrified by this world. I was really mad about the stupid of the dance world, which is so limited. You know, you have to be skinny, you have to lift your leg up, and I was so angry about most of the time about what we shouldn't do, because they tell us this is not okay, this is not okay, this is not okay. With nothing, your body is never good enough, is never flexible enough, your leg is never going up enough, you everything is not enough. And I was like, but I was a good student. I'm a good learner. I don't know if I'm a good student, but I'm a good learner, and I really want to learn. And it was funny, as I was 23 years old and I said I'm going to be a dancer. And I remember we were sitting in the beginning of the school in Gaaton, and the teacher asked everybody, what do you think you're going to be with your life? Why do you are here? And everybody say, I'm going to be a teacher. I want to do it for my body. And I'm the only one who said, I want to be a dancer. And it took me like, I think, 10 years of dancing not to dance against. The first piece Liat and me were doing, called Two-Room Apartment, I didn't agree to do anything that looked like dance or connected to dance or had the feeling of dancing. Just ordinary movement, just to find my own language. I think I could see beneath what everything is happening that there are so many options with the body. And when you learn classical and modern ballet, they said 99% of the options are not allowed to do. And it was like, just drove me mad. I think it's a good in a way, you know, to do technique. You learn a lot of what not to do. But I was working through anger, and I really hated the dance world, you know, the that you shouldn't eat a lot, and the difference between men and women in this world, and the clothes they are wearing, and the behaving of the body, and that everybody all the time look at themselves in the mirror. I was terrified, like it was nothing to do with me. But in the other hand, I really felt alive, you know, my body was hurting all the time, and I was really learning a lot, and it was the first time that I really learned something that I wanted to do. And I think only something like 10 years after, only when we came here to Mitzpe Ramon, I really felt that I forgive the dance world, and this is okay to dance, and I could see the beauty in it, but it took me time.
So you talk about the training you had and also moving against that, and I think people are well aware of the ballet framework, but what was the modern framework that you were dealing with in Israel at the time that you started training?
When we started to learn, we started at the Academy of Dance and Music in Jerusalem, and then after 1 year I was working in Gaaton, the workshop of the Kibbutz Dance Company. And there were two things you could learn. One is modern dance, which was Graham, a little bit of Kenningham technique, but really a little bit. Most of the time it was Graham, and classical ballet, of course. The rest counted as not really important, just for you to know. But it would really affect me. We learn, in Hebrew it calls movement, ketav tnua, notation, yes. And this was really, really smart. Suddenly the dance world becomes smart. And I was really fascinated by this option of writing dance. And because I found, you know, about music, there are so many books and so many things written. About dance, the only books with photos, and it leaves, because you can't write dance, it leaves the dance a little bit for stupid people, because you can't really write it down. So it really affect me. And beside, we learn yoga, meditation, everything, you know, creation, movement, whatever. I was good at classical ballet and also in modern, and I really like the classical ballet because it's so mathematic, you know, and so I even teach classical ballet. And I remember that Liat and me, we used to do classical ballet before we performed, after we start to create our own pieces. And I remember the day we decided that we are not doing classical class before the performance or every morning. And we had to create our own technique of, okay, so if we are not doing classical lesson in the morning, what are we doing in the morning? And we start develop a technique of what to do, which really help us during the performance more. And then I found out that I become more flexible, more strong, and more concentrate when we develop this system. Only years after, I found out that what was really doing is meditation, but I didn't know at that time that this is what we are doing. Only when I found out that there is something like this in the world called meditation, I found out that actually that's what we are doing. We're doing meditation in movement. It's a really, really strong technique. But we have to develop it from nothing, because what I know was classical ballet and modern ballet. And it was so strong. You know, sometimes you believe things in your life about yourself and about other things. Like, you know, some people believe that money does not come easily. Okay, it's something that your father tell you or your mother, and it's stick in your head and it stays there, and it's become true, of course. And I remember all the time they say, a good dancer is a classical dancer, is a classical ballet. All the rest, a classical ballet can do anything. But all the rest can't do classical ballet. And this is really, really not true. But it took me years to get it out of my system that you can be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful dancer and wonderful person without knowing classical ballet. And I meet now in my company and other people that are amazing people and amazing dancers. And if they have to learn now at their age classical ballet, they will die. I mean, the creation and the ability to connect with other people, with the body and movement, will die, because the classical ballet is... It's funny, because I really like classical ballet. I have nothing against it, but I know from my body, classical ballet is good for classical ballet. When you learn classical ballet, it doesn't really help you to wash dishes. It doesn't really help you to put your children to sleep. It is good, and it's very good for classical ballet. That's it. For the rest of your life, for your love life, for your sex life, for your body, it's horrible. It's hurting. It doesn't feel good. It's very good for classical ballet. And what interests me is that I will dance, and it will improve me as a person. I mean, that everything I'm doing will be also good when I'm going with my children to the garden, or when I'm reading a book. And I think dance shouldn't be separate from our life. I can tell you from other places, in all the big religions, especially in the Jewish one, dance is the most precious one to connect God. You see, in the Hindu, the dancer is the one who become the dance. He's part of God. In the Jewish, the men are dancing, and this is the prayer, the most valuable prayer, because they don't use text. And only the modern dance and the classical ballet is really abusing the body, is making abuse with the body. You should be hurting, and it's not really interest nobody if you enjoy it or suffer. Actually, you have to suffer. And nobody's saying, be the dance, enjoy the dance. It's always, your leg should go this high. It's like all the dances in all the big religions make you connect to God and make you one with God and with yourself, and with your inside and outside should be one thing. But only the modern dance is separate. What is inside, nobody cares. From the outside, it should look like a perfect technique, which killed the soul and killed the spirit of the dance. It's only the outside. How much do you weigh? If your face, you should cut your nose and cut your ears and cut whatever, doesn't look good in the eyes of I don't know who. And it's amazing, the competition. Dance is something so precious and so kadosh, holy. It's a holy thing to express yourself without words. I mean, God is expressing himself without words. The sun expresses itself without words. So when a person do it, it should be a joy, it should be a suffering, it should be something, but not this outside looking. And, well, that's it.
I was going to wait until a bit later to ask this question, but you started touching on dance and religion, and on the Jewish tradition with dance and religion. So do you think that there's something particularly Jewish about the work that you're doing? And if so, what?
This is a trap.
I don't want to set any traps.
This is a trap. Well, I'm Jewish. You know, I'm born Jewish. I feel more as a person in this world than feeling Jewish. I get terrified when the Jewish people say, we are all Jewish, and you know, you have to save a Jewish soul. But what about the other people? If you see a little boy and he's hungry and he's not Jewish, you will not give him to eat. It's terrified me that it's like, you know, so maybe all the blonde people will say, I help only blonde people. or I appreciate only blonde people. And all the men said, okay, I help only men. And all the women said, it's impossible. I mean, I don't want to think in that way. In any religion, and there is not so much difference between the religion. After all, they all believe in God. And they all say you have to love everybody like you love yourself. Maybe the problem is that we don't really love ourselves. I think that it's like technique for me. Technique is good until you don't need the technique anymore. And if you want to dance, really dance, you have to leave the technique. When you see a good dancer, he doesn't think about technique. He's just there. When you see a child dancing, he doesn't think about technique. He's just there. Every time you see a person thinking about technique, that my leg should be here and I have to do the point, and it doesn't look good. It doesn't look whole. It doesn't look holy. It looks like part of something. There is a story about three people who walking in the desert with a boat, very, very heavy boat on their shoulders. And people ask them, why are you going in the desert with a heavy boat on your shoulder? And they say, you know, 25 days before there was a river, and this boat helped us cross the river. And we carry the boat in case we will see a river sometimes and we will have to cross it again. And that's technique. You need it when you need it. But when you don't need it, just leave it. Just walk in the desert. And when you come to the river, you will find the technique that helps you to cross the river. I think that it's very important to know technique. It's very important to understand what the religions are saying. But people, give up. There are people around you. Who gives a shit if you are Jewish or you are, I don't know, something. It's a person standing in front of you, and just look at in his eyes, you will see yourself. And I can't say I see myself only in Jewish people. It's impossible. What you can see, I'm talking about me. I'm not saying anything about other people. It's just me. I started to dance with anger. That was what I told you. I had to create my own language because it was against the dance world, against the classical ballet. It gave me a lot of power. And I feel sometimes that especially the Jewish people, they are together because somebody is trying to kill us. And you see all the holidays of the Jewish people, it's always the same story. Somebody came and wants to kill us. We survive, nobody kill us, now we eat a lot. That's the main story in all the Jewish people. And always I think, what will happen if nobody will want to kill us? We will have to invent something. What will be our reason to be alive or to stay together if somebody will not come and try to kill us or throw us to the sea? And it's a horrible way to live your life, that always somebody is trying, and always we say, we don't forget, we don't forget, we will remember, we will not forgive. But you must forgive. How can you not forgive? I mean, even the Bible say you have to forgive. In order to forgive, you have to forget. Life is continue. I always terrified when I see religion people trying so much to be okay in front of God without understanding that they are already okay. They don't have to work so much. They are wonderful and they are okay. A lot of students are coming to me and I see them dancing, and I'm sitting and I'm saying, they are amazing. They don't know anything about dance, but they do move like they have a spirit inside. And so easily you can kill this spirit inside by saying, your leg is not too high, you should put your stomach inside, you are too fat, or whatever, you know. But I'm very, very much an Israeli person. And especially now when I'm living in the desert, for years I was sure I'm European. I like to wear suits and I like to be in London and Paris. From the age of 25 till the age of 45, I was more in Europe than in Israel. And I really felt like the rain is so nice and the weather in Israel is so hot and everybody's sweating. And only when we came to the desert, I found out that I'm a farmer and I'm Israeli and I like to walk barefoot and I like, really like sweating a lot. And there is something in us or in me that is really, really Israeli in a way that, you know, we are so many people. We are came from so many cultures in the world. And you can see the company now. Morocco, Romania, Portugal, India, Switzerland. And we all Jewish and we all live here and we all speak the same language. But we all have different colors and different views. And I think this is so rich. To have so many colors and so many differences between people. And it is so inspired to listen to people who think different than you. And people who eat different food than you. And people who love different music than you. It is so inspired and so colorful and so rich that every time I go to a place that everybody is the same, I felt like, you know, I'm choking. It's like, I'm in prison now and I shouldn't do this and shouldn't do this. And everybody is speaking the same and saying the same. And it doesn't matter if you go to a meditation course and everybody's saying Om, or you go to Jewish people when everybody's saying God. And it is so beautiful to see, like in our company, there are people who start to dance yesterday and people who are dancing 25 years. And it is so nice to see a duet between somebody who never danced in his life. And you see that every movement he's doing is the first movement he ever tried. And next to him sat a person that has to deal with this, that he can turn around and run around. But he's dancing with somebody who doesn't know this yet. Today in the gym, it was like half of the people were photographers. They never dance in their life. They never want to dance in their life. And the people from the company, they want to lift them and to jump. And they had to go slowly, slowly to meet the person and to see. It's like working with a child. What can he do? How do you work with him not to terrify him? And there is so much learning of doing less and less and less and less until you come to the point that you start to remember how was it for you the first movement you did. I like this thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I mean, I'm crazy, I know, but that's the way I like to be.
Just for listeners who did not have the benefit of being here, we just at the end of Sunday here at Adama, there was a big dance jam. There happens to be a group of photography students, is that correct? Where are they from? From Sderot. And while everyone was improvising, they were taking pictures, but they also took part in dancing. It was really lovely. Also with the class with Liat earlier in the day, everyone participated in the dancing. I want to touch on something else that came up in the discussion. You talked about really feeling, now that you're here in the desert in Mitzvah Ramon, you see that you're really Israeli. Is there something in the work that you're doing that to you is particularly Israeli as well? And if so, what?
Well, for me to be an Israeli, maybe it's the same for somebody to be American or whatever. But for me, it's the variety of the people I meet and the difference between views, colors, and size of people and age. I see my children learning in the school with the same, everybody in the class is the same age, and it's like killing them, because when they with the brothers and sisters, somebody is older and somebody is younger, somebody is teaching, somebody is learning. It's not like everybody is the same, everybody is the same age. For me, that's what it means to be Israeli. Also, the desert is something really holy, you know, it's something really connect me to God. I'm not a religion person, but I really feel like I can speak to God here and he's listening and he can speak to me and I can really listen in the voice of birds and trees. You know, I lived in Jerusalem, and there the feeling is that God is really looking at you all the time and really is meddling about you. You are not okay. You don't pray enough. You don't go to synagogue. And then I lived in Tel Aviv, and in Tel Aviv there is no God at all. And I came to Mitzpe Ramon, to the desert, and here it's like God is looking you in the eyes. He's part of your life. And I'm not talking about God of Jewish or God of Christian or God of nobody. I'm talking about this spiritual feeling of there is something bigger than me. Me, and my problem. There is something that connects us all. That we are part of a big, wonderful plan, beautiful plan. And my problem are just waves in the sea, you know? It's like every drop of water in the sea said, me, I'm the sea. But it's true. But we are all part of this sea. And maybe is this feeling, I do feel that I go through a process that is probably very much Israeli, for my opinion. In the beginning, when we dance, I really want to present our life on stage. I really want to put our life on stage and to deal with it. It was like kind of therapy, but also it was very theatrical, because our life in Israel are very theatrical. Everything is very violent. Sex and violence are really selling, you know? It's a good movie. If you see all the movies, there always there is a problem. Somebody wants something that somebody cannot give him. At a certain point, when we were like in the middle of our career and we were very, very much successful, I understand that when I repeat this movement every time on the stage and in the rehearsal room, I actually create this reality in my life. I can give you an example. In two-room apartment, there is a point which is a very nice point. I take my jacket off. I put it on the floor like carpet. And Liat is standing on it. And it's really nice. Like, it's like I give her space to stand. And then when she stands on it, I take the carpet away and she's falling down because of this. And at a certain point, I realize that when I repeat it every day, actually, I created in my life this violence against somebody I really love. So maybe it looks good on theater and the audience like it or terrified by it, but it really looks good on stage. We make a decision that we take every violence out of the studio. We are not working with anything that come against something, even if it looks good, even if it sells. The piece that came after 1 year called The Nuns of Nothing. The name became because every day we came home and we said, it was a wonderful day today. We really worked nice, but we have nothing. There is no show because there was nothing to show. Everything was nice. There was no story. There was no... And then we said, okay, let's say that Romeo and Juliet are falling in love and they have no problems. Everything is okay. What then? What will be the story? And we started from this point. This brings us to the desert. This brings us to find a whole new way of living, because I found out that actually when we are repeating this violence on stage, I create this reality in my life. And I didn't want to do it anymore. And my life really changed from one to another, like really totally changed. Because I was not agreed to do the movement. You know, people still come to us and say, why don't you renew two-room apartment? It was such a beautiful piece. And if you renew it, you can go all over the world. And I just know that my body will resist to do this violent movement again. I like this piece, and you know, it was my first child. You can't don't like it, but I can't do it anymore. I don't want to. I can, but I don't want to do it. I would like to find a language that can create non-violent, maybe violent is not a good word to say it, but work with resistance. Okay, if you work with resistance, you always say, because of my parents, I don't have enough money. Because of my friends, I can't go to India. Because of my children, I'm this and this. And because of the government, there is problem in the economy. Because of the Palestinian, there is we are afraid to live here because of somebody. And actually, nothing is because nobody. It's only because of us. If you practice this as a daily movement, and your technique is to find out this ability in your body, not things happen because of somebody, it's because of you. One of our techniques, we did it today in the gym, you dance with a partner. Always you feel good when you dance with a partner. And then you have to do the same movement without the partner. And you found out that whatever you do with a partner, it is possible to feel the same, maybe not to do the same movement, but to get to the same feeling without a partner. And this is actually teach your body, not your mind, teach your body that nobody, you can't blame nobody. You just can do it by yourself. I don't know if I made myself clear, but let's say that somebody slapped in my face and I really get offended. But what I found out that sometimes I have this offended, I don't know if it's the right word, you feel offended without nobody slapping my face. I feel like inside me, but nobody actually did anything. You know, somebody came to me and said, you're beautiful, and then I feel good. And then somebody came and said, oh, you were fat the last time you become fat, and then I feel horrible. But actually, I feel wonderful and horrible also when nobody says anything. So you have all this variety of feelings inside you. You just think that somebody did something for you. Or take it from the opposite. Let's say you meet another guy. He was wonderful. You went to the sunset. You felt so nice. And then he had to go to America and you stay here alone. Is it possible that you will go to the sunset and have the same wonderful feeling without him sitting next to you? Let's say we have to practice this. It is possible. You can say now it is possible. Maybe it's not easy. Maybe it's not more nice with him, but it is possible. What we have to do is to practice this, that you don't really need the other person, or you need the other person to teach you how to be happy, and then when he go away, you don't have to be sad. You still can stay happy because your body know how to do it. And let's take all the love stories from, I need you, I can't live without you. Who wants to live with somebody who can't live without me? I mean, it's not a nice feeling that somebody is like holding you. You want an independent partner, and he wants a partner. So that's what I'm saying, that I can teach my body do things that really, I don't know, help me or teach me do things in my life, because everybody has a body, even if he's not a dancer. Even if he's just working in the high-tech company, he still have a body. He still have to teach his body what to do or to experience things. And through dance, you can really teach your body what to do. What I'm saying now is it can be a problem because people say, okay, there is therapy dance, and you can work through therapy, and what you are saying is therapy dance. And there is the professional word, which mean classical and modern ballet or whatever, and this is the classical world, the professional world. They are not going together. When are they meet? When some of the dancers is getting hurt and he needs somebody to make a treatment for him. But I believe that when you dance right, your body become better and better. It's a shame that people are dancing until the age of 23 and they're finished. Why? When a woman is giving birth, she will dance better because she knows something about giving. She knows something about her body that somebody who never give birth. And usually when women are giving birth, they stop dancing. Why? And men, when they become 40 or 45, they know something that a guy of 24 doesn't know. So why don't they bring this knowledge to stage and to their life? I don't know, maybe I'm not talking only about dance, you know, it's talking about everything, about model, about film, about high-tech, about everything. But for me, I found out the answers through dance.
No, there's an obsession with that kind of youth and perfection, and it's a very external thing. It's very much that image, that surface. So I see what you're saying. As you mature, and it really can come from the inside, and you can draw on all those experiences and the knowledge. And it's not just in dance, but in dance, I guess, especially because the audience sees the external, that's what they're looking for. But it's wonderful to have another model and to work against it. And as someone who came from the ballet world and has had a lot of injuries and has kind of fought against conforming to that, it's beautiful to find a place where you're not trying to get the body to do something that will hurt itself, and you're trying to find the options and to open it up for people who have danced before, people who have not danced before, and to have it come from an internal place. And it's true, I danced this morning and danced this evening, and I have not felt have not felt my tendonitis, have not felt the little aches and pains, because it hasn't been a matter of pushing, which is wonderful. Can you tell me a bit about Adama here, about the center that you've built? What are the activities that go on here, and what are some of its goals?
I can tell you what happened now. If you come next year, probably it will be something else. If you come last year, probably it will not be the same. The reason for it is that I felt like we're talking about technique and about religion, and I always felt like I should ask questions. The reason I'm teaching is because I want to learn. I never teach what I know. I always teach what I don't know. What I know, I know. Nobody can take it from me. And the activity here right now is that we have a company with 10 dancers, and we always create a new piece. Now we are working on a new piece. And then when we finish working on a new piece, we will start working on a new piece. Sometimes we keep the old pieces, but most of the time we just forget the old pieces and perform with the new piece. Then we have a school. In the school right now, there are 10 dancers who are with us for the all the time. And they learn to create, actually. I wouldn't say they learn to dance, because we give classes. They learn flamenco, and they learn juggling, and they learn technique. But most, they learn how to create. Because I believe that if you know how to create, how to build the dance, you will know how to create anything in your life, whatever you will feel like. But it's like a technique how to build. And they work in the garden in the morning, and they had to do things like walking in the desert, and we do meditation, and we do some classes of reflexologia or treatment or massage. But most of the time we create. That's the main thing. And the school has a wonderful part that we call them tourists, but they are not tourists, or actually they are tourists. People who come for 2 days, for 3 days, to be part of this school. The school is working, that the company and the school is working together. Some of the people from the school are teaching the people from the company, and some of the people of the company are teaching. So it might happen that in one class you are the teacher, and then the next class you are the students. And I really like it, because when I was in a dance company, always there was a feeling of, okay, I'm dancing in the dance company of Liat Rohr and Neil Bengal, and I'm a professional dancer. I don't have to learn anymore. And then the people who are students, they always want to be in the dance company, and which is completely not true. People have to continue learning until they die. And actually, they die when the moment they don't want to learn anymore. So the school is not really an ordinary school, you know. It's like you have to be your own teacher, and you have to be a student and a teacher. And everybody should teach at a certain time, because it means you value, you know something, and you know how, you have to know how to give this knowledge to other people. But in order to know how to give this knowledge to other people, you have to know how to get knowledge from other people. I can't say I'm the best teacher in this school. I'm the best in what I really curious about, in what I don't really know. But there are other people who teach much better than me, and I'm really happy to take classes with them. What we do, we open the school for guests. People can come from Switzerland for 1 month, for 3 months, for 2 days, for 1 day, and take classes with us as if he's a dancer in the company. Some classes are through process, and it's impossible to come in, or you can come in and just watch and see. But other other classes are open to everybody, and there are some classes who are especially for people who just came, like we do yoga in the morning, or a class for men in the evening, or class for women. And so that's the main thing that happened here. Beside this, we host group, like people who have cancer, and they found out that working the way we are working with the body is really helpful for them. People who are trying to stop being addicted to drugs, high-tech companies, managers of company, we do like coaching, children from school who are in the dance part of the school, or theater or music, come here. So we host a lot of people in any ages, different variety of people that actually come, and we work with them, they work with us. We also have the ability to give people a place to sleep and food. So sometimes people just coming like tourists, you know, and they are looking for a bed to sleep. Always it's funny because they are falling into a dance company and they can sleep here, but they will see dance in the evening or dance in the morning. I remember there was like 5 religion people, men. They came in the evening, everything was closed, they looked for a place to sleep, and they woke up in the morning and everybody was dancing in the studio they were sleeping in. And they were sitting like 4 hours just watching the dance, and I could see that they never saw something like this in their life. And like 4 hours they were just sitting, watching, like they are in Africa, watching things they never saw, even not in television. And for me, it's amazing, you know, that that people can experience this. Also, we have a garden. We are planting trees and vegetables, and we are trying to grow our own vegetarian food and you know, making our own garbage and recycling and all this stuff. It's a very interesting place. The people who are working here are actually the dancers of the company and the school. They work here, they clean here, they host here, they do the work here, they build the stage, they build the furniture, they work in the garden. So actually we are kind of community that are doing things together. And it's keep changing all the time. And I really like it because I think maybe someday it will happen, but I don't want it to become a religion or a technique, or that you can put a name on it. This is a commune. This is something. It's a place to learn through movement, through dance, through our body. I think when you work in the garden, you learn a lot about growing up, learning a lot about how to move the body. And if you work in the garden, you will be a better dancer. And I know for some dancers, working in the garden is like, why? I want to be a dancer. Where do you find a dancer who work in the garden? And it's really important because you know something about recycling, or how nature is growing and dying and growing and dying all the time. And we have to know our machzoriyut. How do you say it? When something is cycling. Yes, you know, like the day is coming and then the night is coming and then the day is coming. You're hungry and then you're full, and then everything is in circle, and you see the nature. You see a tree, you know, he's growing in his own way. You can't really push him. Lift your leg a little bit more, lift your leg. It's impossible. You have to give him his time. He's doing his best.
Yeah, I mean, I had very traditional training all the way up until now. And I remember being very struck by my first time here in January, both by the working in the garden, but also the first day I was here in the evening, there was a basket weaving class that was already in process, so I watched what was going on. And I thought, how wonderful, because my training as a dancer was everything related to dance, and everything outside of that wasn't explicitly connected to it. Maybe I made some connections on my own, but it certainly wasn't put within the framework of a dance education. So here, I don't know, I guess I just get the sense of developing a person, and that person dances, but that person is also involved in doing other things, which eventually will also contribute to his or her development as a dancer. They're totally intertwined. There's not a separation. But I've found very few places that will view other things like working in a garden or basket weaving as part of that holistic sort of growth. It's a really new philosophy to me, but beautiful. So,
somebody said to me once that when you learn something, always people separate things from things in order to learn them. And when we teach, we combine or we connect everything to everything. You have to remember all the time that you can separate things from things in order to learn, but they do connect. You can't separate your nose from your face, although there are doctors who will separate your nose from your face. Or you can't separate... And for me, this is dancing. You know, I said before that we really want to put our life on stage. And when I came to the desert, I understand that I really want to put the stage into my life. And I mean, like, when I'm in the studio, I'm like a religion person. That's my religion. I'm really listen to my body. I listen to other people. I'm really like in synagogue or like in ashram. I really concentrate of what I'm doing, like this is my meditation. But when I go out from the studio, I do my automatic things every day, and I really want to dance my life as much as I bring my life to the dance, to the stage. And if you are in the toilet or in the shower and you behave exactly like you are on stage, it means you are aware of what you are doing. You are dancing your life. And it's a wonderful way to live. You don't hide anything.
Can you tell me a bit about your creative process with the dancers? You talk a lot about how one of the main projects here at Adama is to create. So what is it like to work on a new piece?
Oh, yeah. Oy vey. I really like when I'm creating to just throw the idea into the room or into the people and to see them dealing with this issue. I see that when people are building or creating smart, it's amazing. It's like being God, you know. You create something new. Well, nothing is really new, but you create something. Creating, for me, is doing with intelligence. Because when you see the nature creating, he's so smart. He is amazingly smart and funny and intelligent. You know, so everything is so well planned. Nothing is just happened. Even the mistakes. And I see that people are coming, and when they are dancing, they have to build. It's like make your mind more smart. I mean, not in a way of foolish and smart, but use more abilities, okay? Use more options than you know. Most of us, we do the same movement every morning. We get up, we walk the same steps to the toilet, we stand the same position, then we go and wash our face and our teeth. The same movement, the same time, every morning we repeat the same dance. Now, let's say you have to create this dance from the beginning. What would you do? It is so automatic in our body what we do. And then when you create, it's like... You create your own life. You can fix things that you are already fixed on them. You know, you can change things. You can change habits. And the process of building is, for me, is so beautiful to see, because actually you go against your habits. You go against what you know, and you start to search at the place you don't know. And I see that when people are building smart, it's always funny, it's always interesting, and it's not embarrassing. It's like, wow, and it's endless. We start, maybe I shouldn't say this, but the last couple of weeks we start walking on walls. It sounds like people are walking on walls, but we use other people and we use the wall as a partner. And what I see that most of the people, they don't believe you can walk on walls. You don't walk on walls, you walk on the floor. It's like, you know, money doesn't come easily. It's something you believe in. And most of the work we are doing is to forget what we know in order to create something new. And we one day we just walk one on each other for hours. Just people were walking at me. I nearly died, and I walk on other people. It was painful and it was not really nice. But what happened is that when we get up, our mind was completely free from what we know, because we did things that you don't do. You don't walk on other people, and people doesn't walk on you. And like after half an hour of people walking on me, we get up, and it was amazing. Everybody was running on the wall and jumping on the wall and jumping on one on each other, because only because the mind was learning something that was in their eyes before impossible. And I feel that the process of building is always the process of finding new options in your body, in your mind, new option of touching one each other. It's really hard in the way of learning, of creating, just, you know, to remember, okay, I did like this, it was beautiful, it was amazing. How to remember what I did? How you develop a technique that you can, okay, improvise, you did something wonderful, and you can repeat it again and again and again until you can build and you know what you are doing, and you have the same feeling of doing it from the first time. So for me, this is the process of building. And new creation is just an excuse to start everything from the beginning. You know, like summer is coming and then the winter is just an excuse for the summer to come again. So I feel like for the last 25 years, I'm doing a piece every year. Actually, I'm doing one piece. But it's just an excuse to start everything from the beginning. Otherwise, why should you dance from the beginning? Why should you try again from the beginning? Why do you have to plant another flowers in the garden? So for me, the new piece, we always speak about the same thing in our creation. It's love. I mean, what else there is? But it's like an excuse to start everything from the beginning and to fall in love again.
So it's also another cycle. Thank you very much, Nir, for talking with me.
For more podcasts and articles about dance in Israel, please visit danceinisrael.com.